Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So Mighty Kentucky Basketball has settled on a coach, and he's a 1996 national championship winner at Kentucky. But it is Mark Pope, and a lot of people in that fan base are a little bit frustrated. So I figured we'd bring on a guy, Kentucky Sports Radio, on three. And also, he does Big X Sports Radio in Southern Indiana. It's Nick Roush, at Roush, K-S-R-R-O-U-S-H. Nick, what's happening, man?
A lot happened. It's been a wild week, one that we didn't see coming. But, you know, sometimes that's what makes the most fun. I am kind of grateful that it's Friday and I can finally wind down and maybe crack open a beer and exhale for a minute because... This was something else.
I can imagine. How was your text line, call line today, this morning?
Very, very busy, flooded.
Colorful?
It was a combination. Yeah, well, because we had it was a nice combo because it's funny. You do this as fans. You talk yourself into it. So we had a combination of people who were angry the night before, still angry to start the morning, but as the morning wore on and we talked about it more and more, the more people warmed up to the idea. So, and you're seeing more and more of that now. It's the things that seemed so bad before, we're starting to look past and look at the glass half full. And I think that's just how this beautiful, dumb sport works. That's why every July, Kentucky fans are talking themselves of potentially playing in an SEC football championship game.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. So you lose John Calipari. He ends up going to Arkansas, although there were questions about if he'd be fired and you'd pay the $33 million buyout. That didn't happen. But I have to go through a little bit. So KSR, obviously, you have the message boards. I have to go through a couple of these, right, on the Mark Pope.
Oh, okay.
Can we do this exercise? Are you comfortable with this exercise?
I'm happy.
Okay.
I'm happy to go through.
Somebody says, Andrew Farmer 15 says, as fans, we have to revolt against this. We cannot allow this to happen to our basketball program. Albert 2330 says, fire Mitch immediately and don't let Pope get off the plane. Somebody says, we're a football school. I know you're okay with that. I know you're a big football guy. Somebody else, this is a little much. Woody OU says, Mitch Barnhart needs to be taken to a pasture. That's a lot. And then Skippy 03 says, Mitch Barnhart should be fired. This is ridiculous. I will not renew season tickets. Now, one thing I will say, a sentiment that I've seen growing in the Kentucky fan base has been, oh, I'm out. I can't stand for this. But in the end of the day, they're going to eventually rally around and there will be butts in the seats ultimately.
The gripes that got me the most were, because the weird part about yesterday is we woke up thinking Scott Drew was going to be the coach.
Right.
Had no idea Mark Pope was even under consideration. And then you end the day with Mark Pope as the coach. The part that really bugged me were the folks who said, well, should we have ran Calipari out of town? First and foremost, nobody ran Calipari out of town. He won one SEC tournament game and one NCAA tournament game in 4 years, right? That's what made him leave.
Yeah.
And secondly, just because it's like when you break up with the girlfriend and you go out to the bars the first time, and you're excited, but you swing and miss a few times.
Yeah.
You start thinking maybe I should send that you up text at 1 a.m. Right? Like no, we're not doing that with Cal. He can call the hogs as much as he wants. Have him, take him. Fine. I'm over the Calipari era. It was time to move on. It was ugly at the end. Nobody was happy. It was an unpleasant marriage that needed to end, and now we're moving forward with a different guy. It's an unexpected guy, but one who may ultimately end up being the right guy.
Yeah, but it's an inevitable step down just on the face of it. This is a guy who's not won any NCAA tournament games. Now, let me just ask you, though, how do you feel about the hire? I think you've warmed up to it as they've made it, but how do you ultimately feel about Mark Pope, the coach, leading Kentucky?
We would play this game a lot with Cal, where you always kind of wondered, because, I mean, this isn't the first time he's flirted with other jobs, right? You always thought about who was next. And Mark Pope had entered that conversation, but he was always one of those, like, well, he's been good out there on the West Coast. Maybe, you know, it's hard to win out in Mormon land, you know. Maybe in a few years he'll be ready for this job, but not yet. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, where it feels like it's a little soon, but I do think that he runs a style of play that Kentucky fans wanted, that they were screaming for, that they finally got here this last year, where there was a lot of space and a lot more three-point shooting,
yep,
a lot more NBA-esque, analytics-driven. So I'm going to like that. I'm a little skeptical of the defense because that hasn't been great. And I think just the biggest question mark in all of this is, aside from the lack of NCAA tournament success, how's he going to recruit, right?
Yes, like, that's the big thing, player getting.
Exactly. Cal didn't have any trouble getting players, right? So we didn't have to worry about
But he's one of one, though, right? Like, comparing anybody to him in the player getting category is just unfair.
Exactly. And the difference, too, is that, you know, when you asked this question 10 years ago about recruiting, it's a lot different. Now it's more of, all right, how much nil money do you got?
Yeah.
And, one of the first bits of news this morning was that two donors have combined to make sure Kentucky's got $4 million in nil ready in the bank to roll. So that's encouraging. I think the other part that's encouraging is that Mark Pope's best friend, his roommate in college, was Jeff Shepard. The freshman of the year,
Reed
NBA
Shepard
lottery pick, his dad, they just hired his dad's best friend. And
right,
his dad has spent the whole day talking to local TV stations about how great Mark Pope is. So I'm not saying that that's necessarily a done deal, but it's probably a lot more feasible now, a lot more plausible now. So if Reed Shepard comes out and says, you know what, I want to play for this guy, it's going to go a long way to ensure that Kentucky has a quality roster next season.
Now, how much, because this is the conversation that inevitably comes up with Kentucky, and we saw it with, like, Alabama football, with Nick Saban moving on and Kalen DeBoer stepping in there. Kentucky is a job that recruits itself. That's the sentiment. That's the narrative. How much do you buy into that? How true is that?
I think it's more so about Kentucky elevating the job, right? Like, no matter what your resume was before, everything in this job should make you better because there are better resources, because there's more nil money, because it's Kentucky, right?
Like, right.
I think outside of Billy Gillespie, that's kind of been the case for all the coaches they've hired. I mean, John Calipari, he was great at Memphis. You're very well aware of that.
Yep.
But he didn't go to the second weekend until his final three years there at Memphis, and then he just went to four Final Fours in 5 years as soon as he got to Lexington. So I do think that this job and the nature of it, which he's very well of the nature of it, will make him better. But I think then it boils down to how quickly are the results going to follow, and that's all dependent on how well he can navigate the transfer portal over the next month.
Yeah, now I have to ask this. I think a lot of Kentucky fans were looking at that Billy Donovan thing. Now, obviously, it would have been 2 weeks down the road because he's in the play-in. Sort of seems like Kentucky had the thought that most of us had. They didn't want to wait. They didn't want to wait 2 weeks and let the transfer portal window sort of pass them by and be behind. Is that sort of what you're hearing?
Mitch Barnhart, the AD, said as much today without directly referring to Billy. But that appears to be the case. And I was out on Billy Donovan from the get-go. For one,
really?
Fool me once, fool me twice. You can't fool me thrice. He had multiple opportunities to come here when he was coach at Florida. And the second time, I think he agreed to be the Magic coach, and there was talks at Kentucky all in the same offseason, and he still stayed at Florida. So I'm out for that reason. And then secondly, It's been a long time since he coached in college basketball.
Right. And he was 16 and 17 last time he coached.
Yeah. Like, a few things have changed in the last decade. And it's, you know, and Billy's been fine at the NBA. Like, you know, fine, I think, is the best description. He's not making out like gangbusters. So I was very adamant early on. I did not want to go down that road again, even though he does have one of the most impressive college basketball coaching resumes, and he has the fit, the personality for it all. I was out from the jump. So I'm not mad that they didn't go down that road, but there is it's you want to move fast, but maybe they moved a little too fast. Like, how many other guys did they consider
right
after their top three?
You know, Mitch Barnhart's going to tell you that the only one considered was Mark Pope. That's what he'll tell you. He'll tell you he's the only guy who got offered the job.
Yeah, of course. That's how these things work, Gabe. We're rolling.
Yeah, it's just wild. Now, I saw he has a 5-year, $5.5 million contract per year. Maybe a little bit of money savings can be used to go get a team for him, right? Like, I know that you say $4 to $5 million, but maybe some money savings is a good thing at this moment, because they didn't have to pay a buyout, which was a conversation for a while. So they've had some good money savings through this whole thing. If we're looking on the bright side,
it's also, I mean, you almost thought they could have saved more, because $5.5 million, you're like, oh, that's not that much, and then you realize, oh, actually, top 10 in the sport still. So, yeah. But if you're at Kentucky, though, you probably should be paying your coach, no matter who it is, in the top 10 range. Like, you're Kentucky. Like,
yeah.
you got to pay Kentucky price. So, I don't know how much they can redirect. It'd be nice if all this money these schools are making from this huge SEC TV deal, if you could just redirect some of that. We'll make this name, image, likeness money. We'll go buy a couple players with it.
Yeah. Now, I how do you expect this to go this offseason for the fan base? Because right now we're in full revolt territory where people are just very frustrated, it seems like. But you know that fan base better than anybody. How do you expect this to go? Do you expect them to finally warm up here in a couple of months when the news isn't so new, when it's not right in their face?
Well, I think there's a revolt, then there's a you drink the Kool-Aid and you're just drunk on feels like 96, right?
Yeah.
Shout out Tennessee fans. So we'll get that. I'm curious where it's going to, like, when we wake up, how hungover are we going to be from all of that, right? Like, where's the middle ground? And a lot of that's going to come down to which players they can put on the roster. I do think ultimately the offseason will be healthier than what it would have been with John Calipari, just because it was pretty toxic, where even if you were saying one thing nice about the other, then you hated the other side. Like, it was just very divided and split in so many different levels that it was so untenable. And so to your point, to your original question, fans will be bought all in. They'll get wrapped up in the nostalgia. Mark Pope will probably do some things, you know, maybe bring Big Blue Madness back to Memorial Coliseum where it was when he played. Like, there will be a lot of let's bring up the good old days as a sign of what's to come. But then once the games start being played, that's where, you know, that's that's what matters, right?
Yeah.
Because John Calipari was still winning games, he would still be in Lexington.
Yeah, talking with Nick Roush at Roush KSR. Now, how is John Calipari going to be remembered in Kentucky? I mean, 15 years, very good moments. By the end, it had soured. How is he being remembered at this particular moment? Because it looked like as soon as he took the Arkansas job, everybody was sort of, very happy. I saw a lot of happy, good for him. Thank you for your 15 years of service. How is he sort of going to be remembered at Kentucky? Fondly?
Well, this is so funny, Gabe, is that, like, this week has just been, it's almost like a year's worth of emotions. Because
right.
Initially there was, like, I was joyous when I heard he was taking that job. Like, it was wonderful. We were ecstatic. And then there's a little bit of sadness knowing that this guy who led you through so many good times is leaving. Like, when he posted that video,
yeah,
you it was heartfelt. It really was. A guy who it added a lot of humanity that you don't normally get from a guy like John Calipari. But then we saw him in a red blazer.
Yeah, you know, right.
We heard him say the same old lines. He hit the Cal soundboard and started saying the same old lines again. I'm like, good, y'all can have him. So by the time he shows up at Rupp Arena next year when Arkansas comes to town, I don't think he's going to get a standing ovation.
Pretty healthy healthy sports hate.
Yeah, and what's even funnier, too, in all of this is that, I mean, Rick Pitino's out here. He's doing interviews all over the place talking about how great Mark Pope's going to be.
I saw that.
He's going to bring St. John's to Rupp, and Pitino is going to get a louder ovation than when Cal returns. It's going to be so bizarre. But Cal, you're a conference rival now. Like that.
Yeah.
You're persona non grata. Ultimately, we're going to think fondly of these years, big picture wise. But in the intermediate, like he's going to be the rival at the other school.
Yeah, for sure. How do you think he'll do at Arkansas? Curiously.
So, I always thought that Cal had another run or two in him, but not many. Like, when you saw him kind of getting off the plane, it's like he's just old, and he's bringing almost all of his assistants with him except the good one, right? John Welch is going to Fresno.
Yeah.
So, it's like, I think that he's probably only got, like, ish years left, and he'll probably burn hot the first three, maybe make another Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Stumble into some guys that can get him there, but before, you know, they go through the same thing we just went through. So I think he's got one more left in him, and he'll be fine enough, and they'll win some big games. But how many big runs can they string together? Maybe only one more.
Yeah, the mind-blowing thing about this whole thing, about this coaching carousel, and now BYU is going to have to find a coach, is that it was started by SMU, of all people, of all institutions. SMU started this absolute nonsense this entire offseason where your head's spinning. This has been a legendary coaching carousel cycle, if you will. And it's Rob Lanier getting fired after doubling his wins in year two. That is insane to think about how things can start and how dominoes can fall.
Well, and then, I mean, you go even further back. A lot of it's because the ACC's falling apart, and they felt like they needed to get anybody and anybody just to fortify their conference.
Right.
Cal and Stanford are going to be playing conference games against Louisville.
Yeah. What? Oh, my God.
Louisville's going to be playing a Thursday night in Palo Alto in November. Like, what is and then it has that trickle-down effect from sport to sport where SMU fires their coach. They somehow are able to take USC's, and then USC's. Like, it's weird in that almost every step of the process, the school has fired. Like, they've upgraded. Like, SMU got a better like, it's wild. How all of that unfolded.
Yeah, everybody upgraded except seemingly Kentucky. And I was so surprised. I got to say, I was so surprised that it got to this point. I was floored that Scott Drew did not even really. I mean, I guess he gave it thought, but I was surprised that he didn't make that jump. I was so surprised.
I don't know how locked in you were into the plane tracking either, but
yeah.
It seemed like Scott Drew was. He kind of knew what he needed to know, but it was his family that was the big hang up. He's raised his whole family there. His kids are high school age. They live their whole lives.
He's been there 20 years.
And so, he sent their family, the Kentucky private jet, picked up his family and then toured them around Lexington. And when we saw the jet from Waco, the familiar jet coming from Waco to Lexington, everybody freaked out. There was reporters going to the airport. It got as crazy as you would expect a Kentucky basketball coaching search to go.
Yeah, and now, I mean, you cover Louisville as well. Like, now we're looking at two schools, I mean, blue blood programs, with two coaches that have not won an NCAA tournament game. That strikes me. That just, what a time to be alive. You know what I mean? That's just insane to me. Like, on the surface. Obviously, both of those guys, Pat Kelsey and Mark Pope, can have tremendous success from here on out, and they likely will win tournament games. One of the two will win a tournament game at some point here relatively soon. But for them both to be in those jobs and get hired with no NCAA tournament wins at Louisville and Kentucky, look at that even surface level, and it just blows your mind.
Well, and not only that, but especially as radio guys, you know, we love the content. And Calipari and Rick Pitino might be the two biggest personalities in the history of college basketball.
Yep.
Period. And they were coaching at rival schools 80 miles down the road in the same state for a decade. And now you've got two cornballs in Mark Pope, who he's Mark Pope and I, we share a lot in common, just big, smarter than we look, doofy, bald guys who, you know, can bust out an M&M verse every once in a while.
Yeah.
Pat Kelsey, he looks like Squints all grown up. He's as corny as they come. It's just, how did we go from that to this? That part of this is wild. And that's the other thing this too, Gabe, is I know sometimes hope springs eternal. Through all the mess, because Louisville, they had, I would even say, an even messier coaching search that drug out even longer. Both guys may end up being what the programs needed in being the right guys, but it's still you're rolling the dice with younger, unproven guys.
Yep.
Who we'll see how much each job can in fact elevate them as coaches.
Yeah. Now we will see. We will see relatively soon, and I think we'll see even on the recruiting trail here very soon. Now I did ask this yesterday on my airwaves. With John Calipari for the last 15 years, one thing with the Kentucky job is there was personality. I mean, it shined through no matter what because of who Cal is. He's a salesman. Do you think that, like, you need a personality at the top of that program? And do you think Mark Pope can be that guy?
I don't think you need to, because Tubby Smith, for all of his faults, you know, especially in the postseason in some of his best years, Tubby Smith is a kind of a boring guy who won a ton of games at Kentucky. He had the first ever undefeated SEC season ever. He was pretty good, and he was pretty boring too. So I don't think you need to, as long as you understand, as long as you're aware of what's going on and kind of what you need to do, because that I don't think Cal really had his finger on the pulse of the Big Blue Nation later on. Like, there was just so many things where it's like, how do we get people back? Well, I guess we'll just do this camp out thing. It's like, well, people don't, that's not going to do it. Whereas Pope played here. I know it's been a while since he's been around, but I think he understands. And he also is well-connected enough with people in the community, whereas Cal kind of backed himself into a corner, ostracized himself from some folks who are, even though he's not the most, I don't think he's as nearly as dynamic as Calipari was as a speaker, and I don't think anybody can be.
Right.
I think he'll do enough. He'll do just enough to make sure that Kentucky fans are excited when the ball is tipped.
Yes, sir. Well, we'll see how it all plays out. I appreciate you hopping on. You have a good weekend, Nick.
Hey, always a pleasure, Gabe.
Yes, sir. That's Nick Roush at Roush KSR. He's from Kentucky Sports Radio on 3 Sports and also Big X Sports Radio in Southern Indiana. It is going to be absolutely wild to follow what Mark Pope does this offseason, but this entire coaching carousel has been absolutely insane to follow. But